Welcome to the special meeting this Thursday, Thursday, October 25th of the Citizens Committee for the selection of the Executive Director of the Office of Public Accountability. I'm Tony Wilkinson, and I have with me Blanca de la Cruz, our Vice Chair Elva Yanez, and Chuck Ray. Mr. Max Shorty intends to be with us later during the meeting. So, first of all, this is a special meeting so that there are no general public comments, but we do have four items here, and if you wanted to speak on any of those four items, the first one being approval of minutes, we'd welcome your opportunity to make a public comment at this time. We will, as we were discussing earlier, the main item here, item number two, is our confidential process to continue discussion about selection of a candidate for the executive director position. So we will then close the meeting room and have that.
Item three.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, item three. Oh, because we've got, I forgot, we have the Neighborhood Council item as number two. Thank you very much. So if there's nobody wants to make a public comment at the moment. There is technically no general public comment in the special meeting, but since it's the business of the committee is item three, you might want to, before we go into closed session, if you have general comments, make it under item three. So if there's no public comment on before I make our decision on the minutes, the idea is before we make our decision, we need to hear from you. Have my colleagues look through the minutes. Do you have any thoughts or changes?
No.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented? Mr. Ray.
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Ms. Shani is second. Do I have any objection to them? Seeing no objection, the minutes as presented are approved. And that is for August 16th, September 12th, September 13th, September 14th, September 20th, and September 21st. There is some discussion in there or reports of our public session, but mainly those are our closed sessions where we were closing the meeting and having public at the beginning and public at the end. So number two is the item for neighborhood councils that may have passed a resolution or community impact statement on anything in this committee's jurisdiction. I've seen neighborhood councils. So there's no neighborhood council present to ask for special time under item number two. So then we'll go into item three, which is our basic committee business, although most of it has to be closed. Sorry about that. But you wanted to make some public comment on item three?
It's
2 minutes.
It's literally going to be less than that. thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. It's Lisa Tucker from Consumer Watchdog. I hope you can all hear me. We're here, Consumer Watchdog, just to enter into the record our serious concern that the search process for the replacement of the ratepayer advocate is flawed. On its face, there's a problem when highly qualified applicants, are not even interviewed. We are not endorsing any applicant. I want to make that really clear. But we don't understand how an applicant such as former Assemblyman Mike Gatto, who headed the Utilities Committee in the Assembly and undertook reform of utility regulation, could be passed over entirely, even for an interview. So we're watching carefully who this committee nominates to replace the current ratepayer advocate. And understand, according to the city ordinance, the ratepayer advocate is supposed to provide independent analysis of the DWP's actions as they relate to water and power rates. Nevertheless, he reports directly to the entity he's supposed to watchdog, according to the ordinance, which is the DWP. That does not mean that the person nominated should not be an independent voice that's unafraid to criticize the entity to which he or she reports for their failures to protect consumers. And that is also another aspect of by ordinance that the ratepayer advocate is actually responsible for. That's the protection of of ratepayers. So, you know, that person has been authorized by the charter amendment to, quote, investigate legitimate complaints, unquote, from customers and to, quote, propose recommendations, unquote, to address those issues. And that's been one of a number of abject failures of the current ratepayer advocate. That has really never been done. So depending on who you nominate, and then who was approved, of course, the office could continue to be a $1 million waste of ratepayer money and a rubber stamping mechanism largely for DWP actions, or it could become a serious aid in the provision of customer protections, including the lowest possible rate for the best possible services with a view towards building towards the state's environmental goals. We very much hope at Consumer Watchdog that you nominate a person capable of doing that, and we are watching very carefully. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Alexandra Nagy. I'm the senior organizer with Food and Water Watch. And for the past several years, we've been engaging with DWP on both energy and water issues. And I just want to illustrate one example to elaborate on what Lisa mentioned around rubber stamping and some of what we've seen the current ratepayer advocate do, which I find very disingenuous to the process of decision making. So you may be familiar, but LADWP just decided to go forward with the Intermountain Power Plant in Utah, which was actually decided back in 2015 for a 1,200 megawatt power plant. And then DWP brought it back a couple years later to consider making it smaller. And although that sounds really good from the standpoint of the environment, what the ratepayer advocate had done in 2015 was recommend a process for public oversight, review of that plan, and the possibilities of bringing more renewables. And he actually issued a report that said, at this point in time, clean energy alternatives are just as feasible, if not more beneficial to ratepayers than building a massive new gas plant out in Utah. And however, there was no public process. There was no engagement with stakeholders who have this interest of getting our city off of natural gas and moving to cleaner energy. And in fact, DWP leadership decided to push through this new proposal for an 840 megawatt power plant without telling anyone, and so we were really caught off on by surprise. We talked to the mayor's office, we talked to the ratepayer advocate to figure out what was going on, and at that point, the ratepayer advocate admitted that, you know, his report back in 2015 laid out a process for public engagement that DWP did not follow through on. He admitted that this had come out of nowhere. He didn't even know that DWP at this time was going to bring forward this new project proposal. So everyone was caught off guard, and we asked the ratepayer advocate to stand up for what he had said back in 2015. And I was really disappointed when I went to the Board of Commissioners meeting where they actually voted to approve the new project. He just gave his rubber stamp, essentially. He did not point back to how this was not done well in the eyes of the public, on how there was no, you know, kind of oversight process or engagement with stakeholders. So I was very disappointed with that, because we had a face-to-face meeting with him. I thought it was very productive, and then he did not represent the ratepayers' interests at that board meeting. So that's just one example of kind of what I've seen in just the last few months. Again, Food and Water Watch does not endorse any particular candidate, but we do look forward to seeing the robust candidates that we've heard have applied, be interviewed, be considered for this position. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any additional public comments on agenda item number 3? Well, then, at this time, which is 2:22, sorry to do this, but we have to ask you to find another room and have a seat. And we're going to have our confidential discussion about our process. And if we do take any action, we will announce that when we come back in public meeting. It should be an hour or less. And I thank you very much for coming.
Will the decision be posted anywhere if I have to
Oh, well, it will be announced as part of this meeting, and what we're trying to do, I don't know the actual delay, is to make certain that our audio tapes, we've specifically asked for this so that people, because it's inconvenient daytime downtown, can actually hear our conversations. So whatever we announce in public meeting, if we make some decisions up to my colleagues, then that whole audio tape will be on our, might even be, beat the written agenda, depending on when the written agenda comes out. But I'm saying, yes, we will certainly announce it in the public meeting.
Are you expecting to announce it today? Can you say that?
We have a confidential process. And you know, I've been saying in the press that I'm hopeful that we would be able to do this in October. But this, we do need to respect the process and make certain that we document it and it's thorough, and I have my colleagues on board.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Testing.
Thank you all for your patience while we had our extended meeting. I really appreciate it. This is Tony Wilkinson. We are back in public session at the special meeting for October 25th of the Citizens Committee for the selection of the Executive Director of the Office of Public Accountability. We've been considering item 3 on the agenda, which is review and discussion and possible action on a candidate for the executive director's position. The committee does have action and a candidate to announce at this time. At the same time, I want to go over how we arrived at this decision because it's useful in public record. And again, we're making audio tapes of this available on our website. We convened first on November 9th, 2017, and we had a series of meetings over several months to address the department background, the Office of Public Accountability background. These are all public meetings, the legal requirements, the job description. We did make some modifications to the job description as recorded in the public meeting, emphasize outreach and triple bottom line approaches, for example. Then the personnel, we decided that the personnel department would be the most expeditious way to do this, and we asked the personnel department to handle the process and to seek candidates. The application period ran from May 14th through June 25th. Personnel did advertise the job widely through online and print platforms. They did local and national advocacy groups, water and energy organizations, general employment websites, executive, finance, and legal organizations, because they're all involved in this particular office. They also posted the position brochure on both the personnel website and ours, and sent neighborhood councils and city council offices email blasts. I know that my colleagues also provided input in terms of people and departments and organizations that should be contacted, and personnel added those, our suggestions to the list too. We have had 16 public meetings, public input solicited at all of those, and we do have the public website, which is keeping audio comments, so if people can't come downtown, at least they can ask, you know, hear what we have been doing. The personnel department recommended, having just gone through the chief of police, a public comment survey, and so they did a public comment survey. We did receive responses, all of which have been posted to our website, and some really useful narrative comments, as well as letters from the public, individual ratepayers, people's opinions, pro and con, and various candidates. Any public comment that we've received has gone on the website. At the close of the application period, that we had received 31 resume packages, and we reviewed every one of them, and we conducted different rounds of interviews. We believe we've thoroughly verified the candidate submissions that came in terms of the job description and the requirements of the position. And so at this point, I would like to announce the results of our decision, which is we have voted 5-0, all of us concur, to nominate Dr. Fred Pickle for the Office of Public Accountability Executive Director. Our nomination is will be transmitted in a transmittal letter that is yet to come from staff. We've talked in closed session. That's one of the things that took some time about what's needs to be in there in terms of documenting this to the elected officials, because the actual choice is up to the city council and the mayor, the city's elected officials. We're charged of looking, searching for candidates and making what we believe in our five separate estimates for each of our five reasons, what we think is the best candidate for the city going forward in the next 5 years in the Office of Public Accountability. So that is our decision. And at this time, that would actually conclude item three. We do have item four, if we have any organization matters and future date and time. We do not actually intend to have an additional public meeting unless in the creation of the transmittal letter we have independent differences with, you know, because we can't talk with each other about this stuff except in front of you in a public meeting. But other than that, the transmittal letter should probably go out shortly by staff because we've taken the time while you were out there. Thank you for your patience to go over that so it can be transmitted as soon as possible. So we do anticipate this is going to come before the city council first, of course, in energy, environmental justice, and what's the climate change. Yes, our new, you know, Councilwoman Martinez committee sometime in November. So, because we're at the end of October. So that's the information I have on our actions. I don't, we have no more, you can make comment under number four, but we're not intending to take any action on number four. So sure, absolutely.
It's very brief. I'd just like to say picking Mr. Pickle again without even talking to the chair of the Assembly Utilities Committee is like doing an internet search without consulting a search engine. You all knew what you were doing before you started. Shame on you. Shame on all of you. In addition to that, on your agenda, you noticed only that there may be an action taken. You didn't notice that you would be actually making the recommendation today, which is what you should have done. And we do need to have a public meeting on this particular renomination before it goes to the city council, to any of the committees, to the city council and the mayor. I'd just like to say it's a sham, and you should all, every single one of you, be ashamed of yourselves.
Thank you for your comment. Are there any additional public comments? If there are no additional public comments, this meeting is closed.